Thank you very much for coming tonight.
If your Bible is with you, would you please turn to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 13. Verse 23. Luke chapter 13 and verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Now from this very important passage of the Word of God, I would like to just draw your attention to three very easily remembered things. We have read about a door, and a deadline, and the despair that will mark men and women when that door closes. When the Lord Jesus, as he so frequently did, spoke about salvation as a door to be entered, he was reducing salvation to the simplest of terms, a door opened by him at Calvary to be entered by sinners who wish to be saved. You'll remember that his words in John chapter 10 and verse 9 were, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So there's nothing very complex about this idea. And in fact, I think that perhaps its imagery goes all the way back to the beginning of our Bible. You'll recall that in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, God drove them out of the garden. I've always thought that that language was exceedingly strong. He drove out the man that he had made. It wasn't a matter of handing him an eviction notice and telling him now, as soon as you can get your things together, please leave the garden. It was that the moment that sin entered and God judged it, he must leave. And he drove out the man that he had made. And the door behind him was closed. And you'll recall that the flaming sword turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. Now man was on the outside of a closed door. Paradise was shut to him. Communion with God was closed. That route, that road was barred and locked because of his sin. It doesn't take much imagination to think of Adam taking Cain and Abel by their hands and walking with them up within sight of that fearful gate with its sword and the cherubim and saying to those boys, now look, sons, take a look at that. I want you to remember. Your mother and father were once in there, and what a paradise it was. When we walked with God, he used to come down and visit with us. We did not dread him or fear him in the sense that we were afraid to meet him. It was the happiest moment in our day when we'd hear his voice calling, and we'd bound with joy through the garden to meet him. But the day we sinned, that same voice that once gave us so much joy struck our hearts with terror, and we hid from him, and he came into the garden, and he judged us because of our sins, and he drove us out. We can't get back. It's closed. Now, he did tell us that one day there'd be a deliverer come who would bring us back to God. That door is closed because of our sin. Now, could I just grab that picture and tell you that every one of us has been born on the outside looking in. Every one of us has been born on the wrong side of a door that sin has closed. We have all been born out of fellowship with God. We have all been born lacking a relationship with the God of heaven, the God of paradise. We are outside that door. Of course, the moment that you think of a door, you think of separation, inside and out. A difference, a separation. That's the same thing that the Lord Jesus emphasized when he spoke about three roads. A narrow way to heaven, a broad way to hell. A difference. So that a man or a woman may be sitting as close as possible in this meeting. Husband and wife.
very much in love, sharing the same last name, in the same family, obviously, and yet there could be a vast difference between the two.
One on the road to heaven, one on the road to hell. The door, one on the inside and one on the out. Separation.
But of course, when the Lord Jesus uses that word, in fact, in response to this man's question, it is not what could be called just a cold, casual response to this very important question, Lord, are there few that be saved? The Lord Jesus really doesn't answer his question directly. He says to him, in effect, regardless of others, of what others are doing or are not doing, whether many or few are being saved,
you strive to enter in at that straight gate. That word gate is the same as door. So he is telling us now about this priority, this striving to enter in. It is when a person begins to hear the gospel and begins to understand something of the importance of the issues that are involved that he begins to understand why it has to be the first. If you are not saved tonight, my dear friend, could I ask you, when are you ever going to go after God's salvation? First of all, strive to enter in. There was a young woman attended tent meetings that Mr. Oliver and I had a number of years ago. She was not from the area where the tent was pitched. She had actually been sent down by her parents to visit her cousins, and when she got down there, found there were tent meetings, and was not all that happy about the idea of spending a large segment of her summer coming to gospel meetings in the tent. That was at the beginning of the meetings. But then God's truth, she began to listen to it in the meetings. She began to realize how right it was, how true it was, how important this was. And one night when others had left the tent, she came back in. You know what her words were? I am not going to leave this tent tonight until I get this thing settled. She had put it first. She was striving. It's tragic that men often make the mistake of thinking that you strive by being good, that you strive by obeying the Ten Commandments, that you strive by praying and weeping and foregoing things and changing your life. God wants you to strive by letting go of everything else and going after salvation as of first importance. Because that's what it is.
Strive to enter in at the straight gate. You remember the language of Matthew chapter 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Isaiah, that old-time gospel preacher and prophet, his words thundered down into our generation with no lack of relevancy today. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near.
But at first, seek him now.
Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Again and again in our Bible, prophets and preachers and the Savior himself urge the audience
after salvation, first of all. Strive to enter in. The door is open. Strive to enter in.
But I want to spend some time, some portion of my time, telling you about the simplicity that is involved in this wonderful salvation. When the Lord Jesus referred to himself as the door, he was telling us in simple language how a person is saved. By me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, if you were not so familiar with the verse, as perhaps you may be, and I had just drawn that on a piece of paper with a blank line for you to fill, and I asked you, by what do people enter into heaven? It may be that your response would have been very different from what the Lord Jesus said. You may have thought that by tears, or by faith, or by prayers, or by repentance, the Lord Jesus is pointing to himself as the only access to heaven. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He is the only access to God, the only door to heaven, the only way to paradise. You will remember that in the days of Noah, that God told them to build the ark. And he said to Noah, a door shalt thou put in the side thereof. I can hardly ever read those words without my mind putting away to John chapter 19. Because John stood at the cross And he wants the leg breaking, the crucifracture of those two thieves, the malefactors, hanging on either side of the Lord Jesus. And then he noticed that the soldier who checked the Savior saw that he was dead already. And so he grabbed his lance, laid aside the cloak, took that spear, stepped to the side of the Lord Jesus Christ with that Roman lance, and in one act of cruel hatred, plunged it upward to the open side, now open, of the Lord Jesus. John said, I saw, pierced his side, and blood and water flowed. And God said to Noah, put a door in the side thereof. Here's Noah and his family, exposed to judgment, the storm cloud going to gather over their heads, the fountains of the great deep going to be ripped apart by the omnipotent hands of God. There's that family in all its danger. There's that ark in all its sufficiency to shelter them, to save them. Now, would you please tell me, you'll accuse me of being simplistic, but please tell me, how is that family in all of its need going to avail itself of that ark with all its provision? A door inside. And it is empty in there. When I look at Calvary and see the Lord Jesus with that spear biting into his side and his precious blood flowing, it reminds me that he is the door to heaven. It was opened at Calvary. We often sing with children, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you may go in. Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. A number of years ago, in fact, I was in high school, so you can, if you have any interest, you'll figure out how many years ago that was. I was walking home one afternoon and I was handing out some gospel papers on the way home, and a gentleman was coming down the street, and he refused the papers. And I had gone maybe two paces later when I heard him call me. He said, wait a minute, boy, come back. Look, he said, I didn't take that because, he said, I've gotten that from you, I don't know how many times on other days. He said, look, would you be interested in giving out your papers up there? He pointed up what was then a long flight of marble stairs going up into the St. Agnes Hospital. I looked at him, and I looked at the track, I said, sure. He said, you come with me. So we walked up those stairs, and when we got in the door, the receptionist was sitting at her desk inside. She ignored me completely. She looked at him, and she said, afternoon, doctor. He said, good afternoon. He's with me. And she never said a word to me or stopped me. He walked me down a hallway. We took a left, and there was a door there that said doctor's lounge. He opened the door, walked in. There were some men sitting about on easy chairs reading magazines. He said, go ahead. Go in. Go ahead. It's all right. He said, give your papers to these men. I want you to take this boy's papers. Go ahead. And he said, lay some on these tables here where the magazines are. Put them on there. And when I had done that, he made sure I left. He closed the door behind him. He said, now, you can leave. And I walked out. You change the picture now for a moment. Take that man out of there. And I go walking up the stairs into that hospital, and I step up to the receptionist, and I say, excuse me, I'm a senior here at South Philadelphia High, and I would be interested in going down to the private doctor's lounge and handing out these gospel papers that talk about the Lord Jesus. Would that be all right? I wouldn't have gotten one square foot beyond where I was standing. How'd I get in? That doctor was my door. That's how I got in. He was my door into that place. I was with him. So no questions were asked. If the Lord does not come, although I do believe he'll be here in my lifetime, if the Lord Jesus does not come, there's a day will arrive when I will die. And I'm going to step into heaven, no questions asked, because I'll be with him. The Lord Jesus will just be able to say, he's with me. He belongs here. I bought him with my blood. He's my door. He could be your door to heaven tonight, because he says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. What a marvelous simplicity then. You've been looking for a feeling. You've been looking for something to happen. You've been waiting for something to hit you and strike you in a new way from the Word of God. And all the time you have been ignoring and neglecting the one thing, or rather the one person that you need. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Pure. But the Lord Jesus reminds us in Luke 13 that there is a deadline. That door which is now open and through which you could enter and be saved, that door will very soon close. That reminds us of what this lovely sign here hanging before you is announcing. That the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is very, very near. The coming of the Savior is imminent. It is near. Obviously, it is nearer than it has ever been. But with all of the pieces of the puzzle in our world seemingly in place, with everything just waiting for one more thing, the world stage has never been more properly set for the coming of the Lord Jesus. You know the one thing that's missing?
Shout. When the Lord Jesus will step from the throne and rapture his people with the shout.
The coming of the Savior, that rapture will be an act of power. An act of power. He will suspend the very laws of nature that he instituted at creation. Laws of gravity and centrifugal force and mortality and corruption. He will temporarily suspend them. I sometimes thought it's a little as if you were driving home from the meeting tonight and you came to an intersection and the light was red. And you happen to notice as you braked and came up to the corner, you happen to notice a car off on the side with a light on top and the light going. And then you saw a uniformed man in the middle of the intersection, and he had a flashlight with a lighted end on it that would catch your eye even in the dark. And the light is red, but he points that flashlight at your car and he says, "Go!" And he holds his hands up to traffic the other way that has the green light. Now the normal law says when you come to the red light, you stop. And here's that man in the blue uniform, if that's the color of Vancouver's police costumes, uniforms, and he's saying, "Go." Who do you listen to? I said, "You go."
You'd understand that man has the right to suspend the very laws that normally govern things. We don't normally rise up into the air. We don't normally watch people who are dead come back to life. We don't normally see people who have never died, caught away from planet Earth, never to see death. But the very laws that the masterful Creator established, the routine of this world, he will suspend those laws. He will rapture his people skyward in one blinding flash of omnipotent power. You're going to be left behind when that happens, friend. It could happen any moment. It could punctuate a meeting like this. It could suddenly interrupt my voice in the gospel meetings and the gospel series. Here come, Savior from the skies, come to take his people home. That happened tonight. Would you be left? It's imminent. And when he comes, the results will be permanent. You notice the despair that the Lord Jesus describes for us? Men and women who ought to be striving now, who ought to be seeking now, who ought to be trying to get inside that door now, when once the master of the house rises up and shuts the door, then they will seek, then they will strive, then they will pray, and a terrible hell-like despair will seize their hearts. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The door is closed. The saints are gone. The day of grace has ended. The offer of salvation is rescinded. It's all over. You've missed it. And the terrifying despair of being outside that door will begin to settle in upon the hearts of men and women who could have been saved. If you are familiar with the gospel, if you can follow what I'm saying, then it is to you I am speaking tonight when I tell you the all-important matter is to get inside that door while it is open. To know that you are safe and saved before that great event takes place and the Lord cuts the sky with his coming and calls his people home to glory.
Inside that door tonight,
or you will face the terrible despair signified by the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 25. And the door was shut. Then the knocking begins. Then the striving commences. Then men are seeking to enter in, and they're not able. I remember reading about the collision of the Andrea Doria with the Stockholm in the Atlantic. Was it back in the 50s? The Stockholm had inch-thick steel plates on its hull. It wasn't an icebreaker, but it was made to travel in water where there was ice. And of course, the Andrea Doria, although the most luxurious liner of its day, had nothing to match that. And through a terrible, intricate series of wrong moves on the part of both navigators on that ship, out in a vast Atlantic Ocean, those two ships turned right in the path of each other. And the Stockholm went plowing into the hull of the Doria, cut through it like a knife through soft butter, and then turned its engines in reverse and backed out. Its bow was damaged, but it was still seaworthy. But it had left a gaping mortal wound in the side of the Andrea Doria. The remarkable thing about that story is that the most of the people who died that night died from that collision. It was a great rescue attempt on the part of the men on that ship and the Stockholm and other ships that came. But there came a point where the captain said to the crew, go ahead and get into the ship, into the boats, I'm going to stay with the ship. They said, we won't leave you unless you come with us. He said, I'm not going to leave this ship unless you can assure me that every living person is off. They said to him, Captain, the only people left on this ship are the dead. So with his crew, he got into a lifeboat, pushed away from the Andrea Doria, and went over to the Stockholm and was picked up. But his crew was wrong. Because there had been a sailor picked up at Gibraltar for the passage across the Atlantic, Robert Lee Hudson, who had been ill. He had been in the nurse's station for a number of days. Had he been in the nurse's station that night, he would have been rescued very easily. But he felt better. And he took two sleeping pills from the nurse, downed them, went to his room, shut the door, fell fast asleep, slept through the collision, slept through the cries of the dead and dying, slept through the attempts at the rescue, and woke up at 5:10 a.m., lying in his cot at a weird angle. The first thing that filtered into his mind, not even fully conscious, was the lights. They're amber. It's emergency lighting. What is emergency lighting doing on? And he sat bolt upright. The furniture in his room had been tossed around as if some giant had hurled them all out of place. He made his way to his door that had been thrown open, and he looked out into the hallway, and he saw twisted girders and ironwork and bodies and luggage and wallets and jewelry littering the hallway. And at the top of his voice, he began to scream, calling for help. Can anybody hear me? Help! And the voice rang and echoed through the empty hull of that sinking ship. And as he picked his way, understanding that he had only one chance of making it out, as he picked his way through the littered hallways of that dying vessel, the writer of that incident said he no longer bothered to scream because there was nobody left to answer. Nobody left to answer. Nobody that could help him. We only know about that man's experience because in a remarkable way, one lifeboat came back to check and found that man clinging to the netting on the side. And at great risk, they came in and picked him off the side of that ship and whisked him away to safety. And both of them thought of the words, they no longer bothered to scream because there was no one left to answer. My dear friend, the very people that love you most and have prayed for you and mentioned your name before God tonight and could tell you about the Savior and long with all their hearts to see you safe. Gone. Every last one of them, they will be gone. You'll be left outside that closed door because you would not come before.
When it is no use knocking, no use to stand and wait, the word of doom will pull through your breast. That terrible too late, why will you do without him? Is he not kind indeed? Did he not die to save you? Is he not all you need? Why don't you step inside that door tonight? And if the Lord Jesus came tonight, and you were in heaven before Friday morning dawn, I can tell you, you'd bless God forever that Thursday night in the blue and white tent in Exhibition Stadium, just stepped inside the door and you're saved for eternity.